Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds like a whole bunch of people getting punched and stuff like that, and a whole bunch of tribal stuff in the background. Welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale. I'm Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and that clip you just heard was from Black Panther. That's actually the scene they showed at Comic-Con last summer, and it was good to finally see it in context, because that was like the one scene they never released it ever during the entire, you know, year since they showed it. At Comic-Con, Ryan Coogler was there, and he was like, you know, we're never going to put out this scene, so you guys are fortunate to be the first ones to see it. You'll be the only ones to see it until the movie comes out. And it didn't leak. Nothing. They didn't put out a teaser with it in there. Nothing. So that was kind of strange. Strange because most things that show at Comic-Con leak. But this Black Panther scene did not. It was very interesting. But anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about that scene when we start reviewing it. Of course, this whole episode is dedicated to Black Panther. And of course, for a movie like this, I have to have my buddy Tim Gordon with me to talk about it. He'll be on here in just a couple of minutes. He is the president of the Black Reel Awards, the founder of the Black Reel Awards, and the president of LAFCA. He is my homie and a fellow member of the BFCA. So, yeah, I want to get his impressions on it. I think he's seen the movie 3 times already. I've seen it twice. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I want to talk a little bit about all the people who are going a little too nuts over it. Like, I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand the people coming out to the movie in Daishiki. What is the point? I don't understand all these people who have suddenly found their tribal roots through a Black Panther movie. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And maybe Tim will be able to talk to me about that in a minute, because he might have a better insight on it than me. So that will be, I'm really curious to hear what he has to say about that. But before I bring him on, let me just remind everybody to check us out over on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, through the Critical, the Movie Critics Network, which continues to grow. You can find us on Facebook as well. We've got a lot of great shows. Including Tim's. I think Tim's still doing his show. I know he's still posting from filmgordon.com, which is his website. You should check that out as well. I know he posts on the Critical page on Facebook as well there. So you can find his stuff there. And he's been doing a lot of Black Panther stuff all week. I think every Black film critic has been doing a lot of Black Panther stuff all week. It's been kind of unavoidable. And the joke is that Tim and I have been doing Black Panther stuff for all these different outlets, and nothing for ourselves. And I haven't had a chance to talk about it on my show yet. And so that's what I'm going to do today. And after this, I'm done. I'm not talking Black Panther no more. I don't want it. I've intentionally ignored everybody who has said, "What'd you think of Black Panther?" I am not answering that question anymore. I am not. You can go find my review You can find reviews I've done like everywhere at this point. You do not need for me to just be like, yeah, it's good. Go see it. Yeah, I like it. You don't need that. I'm not going to do that. Don't ask me what I thought of Black Panther. Just go find my review somewhere. It's really annoying. But anyway, let's go ahead and bring in Tim now so we can start this conversation about Black Panther. What up, Tim?
Man, I take it one step further, man. I think Disney owes me a check because they got me out here talking about this movie like I worked on it, man. I'm like, dude.
It's interesting when these certain movies come out that speak directly to us. And I feel this way about superhero movies a lot too, before, you know, and wrestling movies and things like that. But when it comes to like a black superhero movie, you know, that's very specific. And you do kind of feel like you have to, you know, be a champion for it. And I think people look to you to be one, you know, all these different outlets look to you to be a champion for these movies and to speak about them. And you and I have been doing so much talking about it all week. And I'm like, I haven't done it on my own show yet.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I actually did it on my show first, which – through technical reasons, will not air. So, and I did a wonderful job, man. I did an entire Black Panther show that's just, you know, it's just vapor. It's just nobody will ever hear it, man. But it was good.
Oh, man, that sucks. That sucks.
Nah, so what's going on with you this morning, man?
Not much, man. It's been kind of a busy morning, so I was kind of scrambling around. Getting the show ready, and I was trying to make sure I had at least one Black Panther music clip in here that I could put in during the break. But, it's been kind of a busy day. I went to see Black Panther again last night, actually, over at the Udvar Hazy IMAX. And it was, you know, packed, of course. And I was, I was posting on Facebook about it while I was standing around in line because they didn't start the movie on time at all. They had to stand around out there for a good little while after the movie was supposed to have started. They were just behind. And I'm blown away by the tribal connections everybody's making about this movie now. It's starting to just make me laugh. And maybe you can speak to many guys, and you know, people dressed up in tribal gear, people wearing dashiki, some people trying to, you know, pass off their cross colors as if they're tribal gear. They're not. Nice try. But I saw a lot of it going on before and last night. And I don't get it. I don't get it. It just makes me laugh because I know these people don't care like that, really, 99% of the time. But then this movie comes out, and all of a sudden everybody has found their African roots. So maybe as the president of the Black Reel Awards, maybe you can speak to it. What am I missing, Tim?
Well, I mean, I hear you, right? And I've been laughing and
did you dress up
to people.
You wear dashiki to the screening?
Come on, man. I mean, really? I wore a Black Panther T-shirt and a hat that the studio sent me. So that was my extent of what you would get out of me. But no, I've been laughing for about 2 weeks and thinking and processing on what it was about this movie, more so than any movie in the 26 years I've ever done this that has – I mean, I've been around what I think are genuine phenomena before. I remember back when Waiting to Exhale came out, I think in 95, and how black women went nuts. And I remember that was a huge opening for that time. That was like a $14 million opening, but they were selling out urban theaters everywhere. And I was like, wow. You know, I've seen it for like the Avengers. I've seen it. You know, I mean, we've seen these phenomena. Lord of the Rings, you know, when these movies sort of come along, Star Wars. But I think the thing about this movie that's really unique, and I was thinking about this Thursday, when we were in the middle of this whole flurry, is that I started going back to the beginning of cinema, and I'm thinking, like, you know, I thought Stormy Weather and Cabin in the Sky were, like, the first mainstream all-black films. You know, you think about movies like Car Wash, like, 40 years ago. But I don't know. I think it's the confluence, honestly, of it being the Marvel Cinematic Universe. it being a character, because, I mean, you guys are much more versed in this than I regarding this character that was introduced in 1966, and there's always been talk about trying to bring it to the screen, and, you know, it was this long battle. You know, we interviewed, or you didn't get a chance to, but if you would have interviewed Nate Moore, he talked about how when he first came to Marvel in 2010, this was the first property that he had them work on, and they kept looking for like 4 years for an opportunity to try to get this character somewhere in the MCU. They thought an origin film wouldn't work, so we gotta wait for an opportunity. So I guess the opportunity came for Civil War. They needed another perspective outside of Iron Man and Captain America. Hence, we get Black Panther, and then this buzz. And you were in Hall H last summer when they played, I guess, the casino fight scene and never released it online. And I think that really drove everybody into a tizzy because, you know, Marvel was really smart, even at that point, with how they marketed the film and built that anticipation for what it eventually became. And by the time they got to this this weekend, you know, I was telling people, and I'm not sure if you were aware of this, Travis, these folks that were doing these Black Panther challenges and raising money to send kids to try to go in, and I was like, they're really not counting that money, and that estimate is going to go up. And you've seen that, like, I think the most recent numbers, they're talking about $218 million in 4 days, which eclipses every Marvel film that has ever come before it. I'm stunned, literally stunned. I mean, you've never seen anything like this in the month of February. These are summer numbers, man, that we're looking at. We're not looking at February numbers.
Yeah, this is the highest grossing February debut ever this weekend. It has $361 million worldwide. And the projections are, like you said, over the 4 days for $218 million, 192 for 3 days already. That's just for, you know, including today. But if you include tomorrow, they're looking at $218 million potentially. That is insane numbers. Those are, I mean, look, I mean, I said in the intro, and I said it, you know, when I was doing the box office roundup earlier, you know, I know people who've already seen it 3 or 4 times. I think you've already seen it 3 times. Right. Right,
I've seen it three times, yeah, and probably will go back. I got one more in me.
Yeah, I know I want to see it on IMAX at least one more time, you know. And I know there's not a single person I know that has not already seen it, and that's a lot of people. I know every single person I know has gone to see Black Panther, has cleared their schedule to go see Black Panther. White, black, it doesn't matter. They've gone to see it, and I think what Marvel has done is be really smart by really targeting their audience without making it obvious. I mean, I think they've done a good job of making this a movie that feels special to us. You know, I've talked about before how there's this certain thrill about seeing a character who looks like us on the big screen in a movie like this. I mean, and all props to Blade, which I've been talking about all week too, just as much as I've been talking about Black Panther, because Blade was important too. But Blade was not a movie that was really about black culture. So as much as it was about a black hero, it wasn't really about black culture. So it's different. But, you know, Black Panther, there's something different about it, you know. And Marvel's been smart about making the movie feel important while also recognizing and marketing it as if it's just an important movie within the Marvel universe. This is probably the biggest year Marvel's ever going to have. Out of their 10 years, this is the culmination of the first 10 years. This is the biggest year they've ever had. This is Black Panther, this is Ant-Man and the Wasp, and this is also Avengers Infinity War. And they've made Black Panther seem like an essential piece in leading up to Avengers Infinity War. So it is a movie that appeals to, you know, black people who don't know shit about superheroes. But it also appeals to people who are like just Marvel fans and want to see all these movies. That is an incredibly powerful combination, and we're seeing it play out in the box office. It's crazy.
Well, I have a question for you, man, and I've really been thinking about this over the last 24, 48 hours, man. Infinity War is dropping, you know, first week of May, right? Man, and there was a time that I was like, man, I thought that Black Panther was going to be a billion-dollar movie, which I'm almost assured it will be because Marvel
will outgrow Civilian Infinity War. That's been my prediction.
And that's what I was going to ask you. I'm thinking Infinity War on paper looks like a $2 billion movie because every character that you love, like take for instance, somebody might say, hey, I love Captain America more than I like Iron Man. Somebody likes Iron Man. Somebody likes Black Panther. Somebody likes – so there's something in Infinity Wars for everybody. And I'm just thinking the bar – this movie has raised the bar so high. Can Infinity War meet the standard? I mean, it should. I mean, on paper, it should, Travis. But do you think it would meet the bar that Black Panther has set?
I think Avengers Infinity War will more than meet the bar in terms of action, because I think if there's one fault that I have with Black Panther, I don't think the action is really great. I think it's okay. But I think Avengers Infinity War will top it in terms of that. But the reason why I think Black Panther will actually do better than Avengers Infinity War is simply because Avengers Infinity War, I don't think, has that same visceral appeal to black audiences the way Black Panther does. My aunt isn't going to go see Avengers Infinity War. She may know that Black Panther is in it, but she's probably not going to go see Avengers Infinity War. You know what I mean? Because the promos don't really promote Black Panther being in the movie. Yeah, I mean, you might see him for a second, but it's not about him. You know what I mean? So I think there's going to be a difference here. Whereas, like I said, every single person in my family has already gone to see Black Panther and will probably go see it again if they haven't already. And, you know, I don't feel that same thing happening with Avengers Infinity War. Is it going to be a $1 billion-plus movie? Absolutely. But I think repeat viewing is going to cause Black Panther to do better than it on a global scale. I mean, I just, that's the way when I think about it, that's the way I break it down. Is, you know, one is appealing to a really underserved audience, where the other one is appealing to the audience that gets served 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year. You know what I mean?
I guess my point, and I guess as a person who comes to this strictly from a film standpoint and not from a comic standpoint, is that Marvel, the one thing that I respect about Kevin Feige and his vision over the first 10 years is that they had a plan. They broke it into different, what do you call it? The first phases, different phases. Mm-hmm. And they executed these phases. All these movies aren't great, man. I mean, let's be really honest, man. I was talking a couple of days ago that I think it's Captain America, Winter Soldier, Black Panther, and probably Iron Man. And then you can slot the rest of the movies any way you want, the last 15 of them. But I think that what makes them pop culture sensations is how Marvel has those movies speak to the culture. And you're right that Black Panther is in it in Infinity War, which I think there'll be some folks who love the character who've seen this movie who will want to go back because, you know, they were fans of his and, they, you know, the Dora Milaje will be in it. You know, I'll get a chance to see Guardians. I'm already super geeked for Infinity War. And not even necessarily for the movie because, you know, you and I got to do like our 25, 30 minutes, man, with the directors.
The Russo.
One of those dads.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The Russo. Those are our dudes, man.
I know. We have to.
So I'm hyped for that, man. So, yeah, but I really think this is going to be a challenge that Disney went in thinking that Infinity War would be their movie this year. And Black Panther may end up being the movie that will outgross that one, and I'd be shocked if that happens. But that would be, wow.
That would be insane. But I don't, like I said, I think that's what's going to end up happening, man. I think Black Panther's going to top it. Because I don't really see it falling very far next week. I see it having a lot of staying power, at least through into February and probably beyond. I mean, I'm seeing meetup groups set up to see this movie, you know, a week or two from now, you know, like people still get planning meetings to go and see the movie together, you know? So, I mean, it's just, it's not often that a movie becomes a cultural event. Black Panther's become a cultural event. Avengers Infinity War won't become a cultural event. I don't think it'll be a really big movie, but I don't see it the same way.
But think about this for a second, Travis. A year ago, you got into the secret screening at Sundance and you saw Get Out before everybody else did, right? And Get Out became kind of, not like Black Panther, but it became the conversation that everybody had. Everybody all talked all year long, oh, man, Get Out, Get Out, Get Out. This is this year's Get Out, but it's a different, as you said, you're absolutely right. But both of them actually have a common theme because it's all about the racial identity, you know, where that one was about, you know, race as it was perceived, how African-Americans or Jordan Peele's script was smart enough to kind of identify and then turn a stereotype on its ear. This movie is all about tapping in to that audience of people who loved coming to America and got to look at the fictional Zamunda. And, you know, now they treat this movie like this is like the sister country. Wakanda is now the sister country. I was online yesterday, Travis, and I started to send it to you that somebody posted something about there was a Twitter forum or Twitter link yesterday called Wakanda Is. And I read through it for probably about 10 minutes, and it was funny because, you know, people were talking about all this stuff. In Wakanda, you know, Omarosa needs, like, a visa to get in. In Wakanda. So it was funny yesterday reading that stuff. But people, man, are tapping into this movie. I don't know what the ceiling is for Black Panther, man, because, you know, they're saying that it could go as high as 230 once they count all the money in. And if this movie gets to $230 million, man, I will be the first one when you see me with my jaw on the floor like, how is that possible, man? Like how? What did they do at Marvel? And I'm sure you're talking about somebody high-fiving. Disney's got this movie. They got Wrinkle in Time next month, Infinity War.
They got Han Solo and Infinity War the same month. They're
nuts,
same month.
Man. I'm like, come on, Disney. Space it out. Somebody even told me yesterday, why'd you move Wrinkle back to April? If you were going to drop, but then I guess they don't want Wrinkles money to touch Infinity War money.
Have so many movies, so many blockbuster movies that they're stepping all over each other. It's insane. You wonder what these movies would do if they had a little bit more room to breathe, but they don't really. It's crazy when you think about what they have coming in May. You know, when I was at the IMAX screening last night, people were getting pumped up and excited over the Han Solo trailer. It's gonna be nuts, and Disney has all this stuff, and we haven't even touched on their Pixar or their live action movies. I mean, they got the Incredibles 2 coming out this year too. I mean, they got all this stuff coming out this year. It's just nuts to think about what they have, and Disney. Black Panther I think has the potential to top all of them this year. I was making fun of it earlier. You know, people walking around in dashikis and stuff. You know, coming to the screen and I'm quietly laughing at them as they do it because I'm like, come on, y'all. You know how to come in here, dressed up as redhead kingpin just because you're going to see Black Panther. It's okay.
funny, redhead kingpin.
Or Kwame in the Next Generation. You know, you don't have to come in here like dressed up like them as you're going to see Black Panther. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I may laugh at it, but the movie is reaching those people in a way that normal movies just don't. And my worry coming out of this is, one, it's going to be impossible for Marvel to replicate this. I mean, there will be more Black Panther movies. Reaching the heights this one has from a cultural standpoint, I don't even think they should even try. Just make the movie. Just make the movie. But
yeah,
I also
man, you will never be able to duplicate this. And if you can, I'm like, man, whoever that dude is, Ryan Coogler. Okay, well, you go ahead on because I got something else. But go ahead. You're right. They won't be able to duplicate this.
Yeah, this is a lightning storm in a bottle. But it's going to be even harder for other studios because we know Hollywood. Hollywood is – they will copycat. And I'm worried about a flurry of less than standard black superhero movies that will come up out of this, like Cyborg or something that might not be up to snuff. This movie has – a number of ingredients that are going to be really tough to bring for any other studio to match. You know, Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, and Chadwick Boseman, and you know, all, the entire black cast, Denai Gurria, Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke, who I thought was awesome in this movie.
Right. Lord Gorilla, I mean, King M'Baku.
Oh, my God. Manny was one of my favorite Panther villains anyway. To see him in the movie was great. But there's so many things this movie has going for it that another studio will be really hard-pressed to try and find that same formula and make it work. I worry about there being a whole bunch of substandard black superhero movies coming out of this. That's like my big fear now.
Well, I think the biggest joke, man, was I kept seeing all week, somebody said, man, Tyler Perry sitting at home thinking, Madea goes to Africa. Here's the one that shook me last night. I'm going through my feed, and I saw somebody wrote an article, and it said, Ryan Coogler is the new Spielberg. I was like, wait a second, bro. Pump your brakes, man. What are y'all doing?
Yeah.
We are not anointing this dude after three movies, man. Just stop it.
After three movies, Spielberg wasn't Spielberg yet. I mean, let's
no,
relax.
No, he was not.
Let's relax. Coogler
is an amazing filmmaker, man.
He's an amazing director, and he's 3 for 3 when it comes to movies. Fruitvale, Creed, and this. He's 3 for 3. If he can put Michael B. Jordan in every single movie, I'm not going to complain. But let's pump the brakes a little bit on him being the next Spielberg.
Oh my God, man! And then the other fear. See, you're not talking about this. You know, the other fear for me is that, you know, I know Ava DuVernay is sitting at home, right? She's like, yo, man, I got a movie coming out, man. We gonna start dressing up. People gonna go to the theaters. Open next month. Like, what are we gonna do for regular time? So
yeah.
Tyler Perry got a new movie coming out. Y'all gonna dress up like Tyler for Acrimony? I mean, like, I'm just asking questions because I do believe, and as I was telling people all week, do not spend your whole year's movie budget going back to see Black Panther 4 times and not seeing and supporting other stories from Barry Jenkins. From Ava DuVernay, from F. Gary Gray. I mean, there's folks that have other movies that are coming out, and I want to see this fervor for those movies, and which we probably won't.
No, he probably won't. That probably won't happen. And I'll be honest with you, I do have concerns about A Wrinkle in Time not living up to expectations. I mean, as much as I think it looks great and I love the book and all that kind of stuff, I wonder if it's one of those things where there's a specific audience for it, the people who love the book, and they might be the only ones who come rushing out to see it and then nobody else does. It kind of looks like Tomorrowland to me, which is Tomorrowland had this incredible buzz, you know, for another fantasy, you know, space-time sort of movie from Disney. And had this incredible amount of buzz behind it, and this huge marketing push, great cast, and then nobody went to see it. And I worry about something like that happening for A Wrinkle in Time for those reasons, but also because there might be some fatigue after Black Panther. You might be right. You know, there might be a little bit of fatigue after this, you know? I mean, I don't know, but I have
it's a hard act to follow, man. It really is, man. I don't know how. I would hate to be the movie, you know, like they talked about Red Sparrow. Red Sparrow, I mean, we saw it the other day, man, but, you know, it's a bar, and people are going to be like, eh. I'll go back
and
tamper it up again.
I think that movie has done itself no favors by trying to portray itself as being an action movie when it's not. It's not an action movie. It's Red Sparrow is closer to Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy than it is to Atomic Blonde. You know, and I think people going there are going to be disappointed by that. I mean, one of the things that I was talking to Arch. Arch didn't like it. One, he didn't like Jennifer Lawrence's accent, but two, he thought it was dull. I didn't think it was dull. I thought it was intricate. You know, I thought it was, you know, a well-plotted movie, but it's not an action movie, which is what I think we all went in there kind of expecting it to be. So, but everything has a hard act to follow when it comes to Black Panther, and that includes, you know, Marvel. Marvel's got a hard act to follow. I'm going to take a quick break, Tim, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Black Panther. I want to get into specifics about your review, your thoughts on the movie itself. So, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in to Cinema Royale. Here, my buddy Tim Gordon. We're talking about Black Panther. That clip you just heard was from one of the amazing songs from that movie. One of the amazing original songs, the Mike Kendrick Lamar. I think that was The Weeknd with him on that particular track. This movie had one of the hottest soundtracks I've heard in a long time. Tim, I don't know what you thought about it, but it blew me away.
Oh, no. I love the soundtrack. I did something, and I know since you don't go to my site, you know, because we have a gentleman's agreement that we don't read each other's stuff. I mean, but no, I'm being real that, like, I don't want what you think to influence what I'm writing, and I'm sure you feel the same way. So I did something on my site that I've never done in the 10 years that we've had Film Gordon, that I created a micro site for Black Panther, and I literally took all the content I created and put it into this one area of my site because it was so much stuff. So the album, the soundtrack is in there, you know, two reviews, one for me and another one of my writers wrote it, galleries, videos. I mean, we did a bunch of stuff on this movie, man, but it made sense because it felt like a movie of the moment and it was something that we needed to do. But don't look for me to have a microsite for Acrimony in a couple of months because that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I can't even remember what Acrimony is about. Isn't that one of those like family relationship thriller things that Tyler Perry's doing? Is that what it is?
Yeah. This is the one with Taraji P. Henson, man, has been done wrong by her husband. We've seen this story literally in black film. I can't tell you. Perfect Man, with Michael Ealy was hiding under the bed.
This is the guy where her husband isn't who he says he is or something like that, right?
Yeah, well, no, this one is the one where she has a husband who basically leaves her for another woman, and then she goes, what was the movie that Rosario Dawson did with Katherine Heigl about a year or two ago where, you know, she stole her husband? You stole my life! Come on, man. Like, literally, I can see this movie coming before it even hits theaters in 2 months.
Yeah. I always name all the, I always call all these movies Obsessed, the Beyonce, Idris Elba, Ali Marta movie. They all just look like it. They all just look like the same movie. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. Sometimes it's an extra black woman in the mix, or sometimes it's an extra white woman in the mix. I mean, so it's like, okay, that's all the same.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
All right, let's talk about a little bit about what your thoughts about Black Panther were. Because, you know, you and I have been doing this talking for others, but I actually don't know your specific thoughts about what you liked about the movie. So give me your thoughts. What did you think about Black Panther as a whole? What were your favorite aspects?
All right, man. Now, in every interview, man, I have done no talking about any specifics of the film because we were trying to keep everything spoiler-free. Do you want spoiler-free? Or do you want
you don't need to spoil anything. I mean, I imagine probably everybody in the world has already seen this movie anyway, but we don't need to spoil anything. Just kind of talk about what you liked about it. You talk about characters you like, themes, whatever, you know. But we don't need to spoil specific events.
All right. Well, here we go, man. I think first of all, I love the movie. You didn't go to the very first screening because you were like either sick, worn out, or whatever happened, but
I tried my best to get there, man. I wanted to be there so bad. I was sick, and I just got off work, and I was like, I'm gonna make it to this because I want to see this movie so bad. But two, I really want to do these interviews like really bad. And so I drove, and I got about 5 minutes from my house, and I almost like passed out in the car, and I was like, I was like, yeah, you know, I could probably try and make it. I was like, but why risk it? I'll just turn around.
Right.
You know, I was like, I was so, you have no idea how disappointed I was. Did you have to share that interview with the other person too? Was it still just you and the other
person? Well, yeah, we wound up, I mean, we had a really cool three-person team who, you know, we only had one bad question, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. We only had one bad question out of the threesome. But the reason I bring that up is because that first screening, man, I walk in and, you know, and everybody is like hopped up on sugar, and I'm like trying to sit there, and I'm like, I just want to take in the experience, man. I don't want to have all these expectations. I just want to watch it. And I was literally sitting next to Kevin Sampson, and I think there's a line in the movie during a fight scene, during the initial challenge when T'Challa is – yeah. And, you know, Angela Bassett screams out a line, and Kevin Sampson starts crying. And I'm like – dude, are you crying in the middle of Black Panther? He's like, wow. Man, that line touched my soul. I was like, okay, man, all right. And it went on from there, man, that I was really blown away at how multi-layered I thought the story was, you know, and all of the stuff that I'd heard going in, that it was kind of James Bond, elements of The Godfather. I would even add in Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, or as you, or for comic fans, you think Magneto and Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because basically to me, I thought that both of these protagonists wanted the same thing, but one was a lot more militant about it than the other. And then even with him saying, I don't want to do that, you understand that their thinking is more in line with each other than they know going in. So I thought that the cultural aspects, the messaging, the father-son message, the sibling message, the brother-sister messages in the movie, the messages of Black empowerment, of some of the political messages in there, I thought that they did a really good job of really touching on a lot of stuff, but not making any of it too preachy.
Right.
You know, so I really thought that this was probably, to me, and I've been saying it, I still prefer Winter Soldier because I like that political thriller and all those elements, watching Nick Fury go through his whole survival piece there. But Black Panther, to me, is probably my second favorite movie in all the MCU. I don't really think there was a wasted scene in the movie. I thought it all really worked from start to finish. Edited well, costuming by Ruthie Carter, Nate Moore, who's probably the proudest man in America right now, because it was him who really kept pushing, you know, something that he watched as a 7-year-older or read as a 7-year-older. And in order to live long enough and be instrumental in helping to bring it to the big screen, and then all the success that it's having, man, that dude, man, I would like to have been at his house like last night for him to be like, turn it up. So yeah, man, I really like this movie a lot, man. I mean, if you can't tell.
Yeah, no, I agree with most of what you said. I think I look at the Marvel movies that I've liked the most are I think a lot like yours. Winter Soldier for me is my number one or number two. I really love Captain America: Civil War. Also, the movies, the Marvel movies that have more of a geopolitical context to them, and Black Panther's in there too, tend to be the ones I like. Because, you know, as much as I'm a Marvel Comics fan, I have never been one of those guys who gets insanely crazy over their movies. I think some of them are good, some of them are okay, some of them are mediocre, you know. But there are a few that I truly love, and those are a handful that I love. I love this one, even though I have issues with it. I don't think it's perfect, but I love this one too, and I love it for a lot of what you said. I think it approaches a lot of themes and weaves them into a broader superhero movie. Doesn't even really feel like a superhero movie. It feels like one character's journey, which I think is kind of like how Captain America: The Winter Soldier felt for Captain America. It didn't feel like a superhero movie. It felt like a deconstruction of Captain America. Like, what does he stand for? And that's what Black Panther feels like to me. It's a deconstruction of what he's about, you know. And I look at the dynamic between him and Killmonger a little bit differently, I think, than you do. I don't actually see them as people who want the same thing, at least not in the beginning. I don't. Because in the beginning, you know, T'Challa is preaching isolationism, whereas Elvin is preaching globalism, you know. And they're coming at it from two very, very different angles. The best thing about Killmonger is that you can make the case that he's actually right. You know, for about 80% of the movie, you can make the case that he's not wrong. Those tend to be the best villains, the ones who don't see themselves as villains. And for the vast majority of the movie, he's not really a villain. He's not a good guy, but, you know, he's not really a villain. He's not out to rule the world. He's out to help his people in the way that he knows how. And the way he knows how is caused by what was taken from him. And I think the biggest theme this movie has going for it that I really, really loved was the way it talks about how he was disconnected from his culture, disconnected from his race. And it's largely because of Wakanda that does that. And, you know, and that's one of those things that we get nowadays, too, you know, where a lot of, you know, black children are disconnected from their family, disconnected from their culture because of mass incarceration, because of, you know, cops killing unarmed black men. That has a ripple effect in the children who are taken away from that stuff taken away from them. And I think we see that in Killmonger. And I think that's one of those things that the movie touches on without going overboard, but it touches on it. And it does that with a lot of different ideas, which is one of the things I really love about it. You're about to say something. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think you're right. I was just sitting here looking at grosses and I noticed something that we'll talk about. I'll bring up in a second. But no, I think that when I said that they basically want the same thing, what I'm saying, and you're absolutely correct, that they start off polar opposites, right?
Yeah.
Killmonger to me, you know, and I think Rocky wrote something. She was like, you know, they could have set it up almost like Captain America Civil War and made this Black Panther Civil War, because it's basically, you know, Iron Man. This would be Iron Man, Captain America. That same debate between Killmonger and T'Challa. And I'm more team Killmonger. I think he's absolutely right. I think he was a little militant in how he went about it, but it was all based on, like you said, what was taken from him. I would go one step further and talk about the hate and kind of like this burning passion that he feels for how he was wronged within his own family and
right.
deserted. And I thought that was powerfully displayed and kind of really anchored so many of his decisions, even down to, you know, his father. We don't see a lot of his father in the film, but we see enough to know that his father felt almost the same exact way, and all he is an amplified version of what his father was trying to do, you know, in the film as well. So I thought that part, and I'm sure he took it from some comic. I'm sure he didn't make all of this stuff up. But I thought they did a really good job of kind of showing that, where they didn't, as I said earlier, they didn't have to preach it to you, but trust that the audience was smart enough that we'll leave enough breadcrumbs that they could sort of piece together this narrative and then give us more time to kind of immerse you in this world that is very rich, man. This Wakanda, man, that was actually really special. I was thinking 30 minutes into it the first time I saw it, I was like, I got a passport. I think we need to get over to the Black Dubai at some point, man. This place is hot. Wakanda is where it's at.
Yeah.
So, so Black Panther, man.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot in this movie, man, from Jim Murma, from storyline standpoint to just the visuals of it. And that's one of the things I'm most impressed by, not just the costumes, but the production design of Wakanda itself. You know, I love every scene they had at Warrior Falls, you know, with the people dressed up in their tribal outfits, you know, dancing and moving. And I love those scenes. There's a scene when they're all in the boats, you know, before his first battle, T'Challa's first battle at Warrior Falls. And there's all of them on those boats coming to the falls. I love those scenes.
Yeah.
Those are fantastic looking, man. In terms of the performances, man, I think Chadwick Boseman. Look, what was that interview that we had with him a few years ago? Was it for 42? And I remember 42. I told him that he would make a great Black Panther back then. After the interview, I told him he'd make a great Black Panther, but there was no discussion of even a Black Panther movie back then. So
no,
I mean,
not at all, man.
Yeah. So I mean, it was. I
no,
think he just
not
laughed.
At all.
He just laughed. I mean, and he was. This is, you know, this is basically his first, you know, major role. So there was no even consideration that he would be in something like this. But I remember saying back then that he'd make a great Black Panther. So yeah, I know. But
let me bring this up to you, man, because you know you're talking about the performance. I just noticed something, man. I went on Box Office Mojo, and of course the movie opens 361 worldwide. That they're projecting, you know, the 218 and the 169, so they come up with this number. But what if I told you, when they always had this debate about, do African-American films travel well overseas, right? And this is pure data right here. Do you know, Travis, that inside the top 20 releases all time, like, you know, the top 20 highest grossing opening weekends, right, that the overseas or the international market, Black Panther has the lowest international, like overseas growth of any of the films in the top 20. Any of the film, all every film in the top 20 has a higher opening overseas gross than Black Panther does.
Okay.
Everyone, I'm looking right at it, man. I'm like, wow. So I mean that is a hurdle. I mean, it's a conversation that I know we've had off and on for years, and this movie will probably be a little different because at the end of the day, it's a Marvel movie. It still has to open in Mexico and China and some other markets.
Right.
But I'm looking at these numbers, man, and I'm like, it's at 169 million. That's by far the lowest number. You have Beauty and the Beast at 182.
Yeah.
Twilight Saga Part 2, 199. Everything else is in the twos and threes, man. And I'm like,
that's amazing because you don't think a Twilight movie travels the way would travel like that, but apparently it did. It's crazy.
Batman, Superman. I mean, you know, it's just crazy, man. So,
a big part of that is not having China, which is the biggest market in the world other than ours. So not having China in there is pretty big, but. I don't know. I think this movie's going to do well internationally. I'd be curious to see what it does in Africa. I wonder if it'll do well.
Well, you know, it's interesting, man. Like, I mean, you look at some of these, that, like, the numbers are really telling, right? So, for an example, Fate of the Furious, which is the number one opening film, like, the highest grossing weekend in film history, literally didn't even make $100 million in America. It made $98 million in America, but it made $443 million overseas in its opening weekend. I mean, think about that for a second. $400 million it made. Black Panther couldn't get two. Black Panther made $200 million here. It made more here in this 35% of the world than the rest of the 65% of the world. I'm like, wow. That is pretty interesting to me, man. I'm only looking at this from a standpoint that there's so much money in the grosses, and we're talking about historic openings. You know, there's still ceilings that need to be captured and to be broken through. And we still are dealing, even with this film, a film that really didn't open as well, minus those three markets that we talked about.
Right. Right. And I think Black Panther.
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, you're good, man. Man, you didn't do anything wrong. So what was your favorite character out of all these movies? Because I came away out of this liking a hell of a lot of people that I don't necessarily know. Like I'd never seen Letitia Wright before now. She is a real treat as Shuri, T'Challa's brilliant younger sister. In the comics, Shuri is one of my favorite Black Panther characters too, because she actually wears her own Black Panther suit that she wears. So she's one of my favorites. I mentioned Winston Duke as Man-Ape. I think it's fantastic. I think Andy Serkis is having a ball as USC's Claw. And, of course, Michael B. Jordan is just intense. And I think he's actually the best Marvel villain they've ever had, Killmonger, without going into all the details why. I think one Marvel's biggest hurdle for all their movies has been a lack of quality villains. I don't know if they've ever even had a quality villain other than Loki. And Loki was a secondary villain in the one movie that he was really the main villain in, which is the Avengers. He was still kind of a secondary villain. But Killmonger is just, he's complicated. He's, like I said, he's a guy whose opinions, are almost as valid as Black Panther's. He's charismatic. He's violent. He goes through some stuff in this movie that sort of shocked the hell out of me. And when I saw it last night with people who hadn't seen it before, it shocked the hell out of them too. So I think he's the best villain Marvel's ever had. But what do you think about some of the characters in Black Panther?
Well, I mean, for all the reasons you just stated, I would even go as far, because you know me in a way that a lot of the audience doesn't, and you know I'm a DC guy, right? So, you know, I still honestly believe that the greatest superhero movie in my lifetime has ever been made was Christopher Nolan's 2008 The Dark Knight. And I thought that Heath Ledger, who won an Oscar for his performance, I think Michael B. Jordan might be the equal to Heath Ledger. I'm not going to say he's better, because I thought Heath Ledger was absolutely great. He makes that movie in a way that, to me, Michael B. Jordan makes this movie. No disrespect to Chadwick Boseman, who I believe they, you know, I would love to see them make his character stronger in parts 2 and 3. We mm-hmm. understand that he's grieving, he's going through his transition, he's learning how to wear the mantle of being the king and protector of Wakanda. But Michael B. Jordan, man, just blows him off the screen in every scene. And when you talk about the challenge scene that they had, man, that was like, wow. That dude there, he has a future. At 31 years old, he's the future leading man in Black Summer. That dude has charisma to burn. So he was great. You talked about M'Baku. I thought for a person who didn't have a lot of screen time, man, Winston Duke made the most of every scene that he was in, man. Dude was great. Shuri, you know, Letitia Walker, you know, absolutely fantastic. Probably one of the funniest lines in the movie. You know which one I'm talking about in the lab. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. I thought Danai Gurira and, you know, the General Okoye, leader of the Dora Milaje, you know, brought it. I mean, I think Ryan Coogler did a really good job, man. And to be perfectly honest, man, if you ask me, and this is no disrespect to him, I thought the weakest actor in the film was the lead. I kept looking at Chadwick Boseman going, man, I need a little more strength out of T'Challa, man. But for reasons I said earlier, I sort of get and understand that it's always really hard when you're the guy, that it's always easier for somebody to come in and support and overshadow you. Like, Christian Bale got overshadowed in every Batman movie that Christopher Nolan made. I mean, every character around him was better than Batman. Batman was okay, but, you know, Bane's more charismatic. Heath Ledger and the Joker is more charismatic. That's just the nature of making these kinds of movies, man. It just really is.
And it's really the nature of the characters, you know, especially in the case of Black Panther. One of the things I loved about the Black Panther run, because look, Black Panther's been around for over 50 years. He has not had a comic to call his own for the vast majority of that time. He was really brought back to prominence when Christopher Priest began writing him, I believe, in the early 2000s, maybe mid-2000s. And Christopher Priest did the run of Black Panther that I love the most. No offense to Ta-Nehisi Coates. Christopher Priest was the one who made Black Panther prominent. Without him, this movie wouldn't exist. But because he's the one who really gave us the Dora Milaje and a lot of the elements that are in this movie came from that. But the nature of the character is such that he's always the coolest and most aloof person in the room. But in also the vast majority of Black Panther comics, Black Panther is rarely there. Like, Black Panther is like a character whose presence looms over the comic more so than you physically see him in it. You know, so in the Christopher Priest run, a lot of it was Everett K. Ross, the character played by Martin Freeman. A lot of it is him kind of trying to figure out what the hell Black Panther is doing behind the scenes, because Black Panther is, you know, always 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of everybody else. His machinations are everywhere. And it's usually, and Ross is kind of like us trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So the challenge is, you know, for a movie like Black Panther, is making Black Panther have a presence and keeping him on screen. And I think that if there's, you know, as much as I love Chadwick Boseman, he's great in the role, it's very easy for a character like that to get overshadowed by the flashier characters. You know, Shuri is the funny one. You know, so when she's on the screen with him, she's the one who makes us laugh. Or Manape's the funny one. If he's there, he's making us laugh. Or if Killmonger's there, Michael B. Jordan is filling up the screen with tension and charisma. You know, and there's no one thing that Black Panther has that stands out compared to all that. There's no one particular trait except him being sort of, you know, above it all. You know what I mean?
Right.
While that makes for a realistic version of Black Panther, it's not always it's not the flashiest role, and it never will be. If they do a sequel, he still won't be the flashiest character in the movie. It's just not the way the character is designed to be. But
So a question for you, since you know and you've read the comic, man, where do they go next, man? What other villain is out there that they can possibly introduce in the second movie?
It's really tough. I mean, there's no particular story that this is taken from. You know what I mean? It's not a straight adaptation of anything in particular. There are elements of a lot of different things here. If I had to think of one, probably somebody like Chibé would be one to think about. And he's sort of like Black Panther's Joker. He's crazy. He's unhinged. In fact, he is Black Panther's Joker. Let's just put it that way. Because Black Panther is a lot like Batman. He's analytical, whereas Chibé represents pure chaos. So, if you look at artist renditions of him, he even looks like the Joker in a lot of ways. He's got this elongated head, big giant ears, huge toothy grin. You know, he's just pure chaos, which makes him unpredictable and which makes him tough for Black Panther to figure out, because that's like his thing. He can figure people out. He can figure things out. But he can't do that with somebody like him. So he's the most natural one I can think of. He doesn't have a ton of great villains, to be honest. In fact, who would you see playing that? I don't know. I'd have to really think about that for a second. I really would. But some of his best villains are, you know, Dora Milaje, like the character played by Lupita Nyong'o, Nakia. She is a former Dora Milaje. She becomes a villain. So it's different, you know. The movie is taking things and changing them up. Maybe that's the direction they go. I don't know. I really don't know.
Wow,
so,
that would be interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Too bad they can't bring Storm into this thing, man, due to the fact that they don't have those rights.
Well, maybe if they get that deal done in time, maybe they can. But that's at least a few months away, if not a year away. So who knows? But actually, the show is about to run out of time. I didn't even notice. I was too busy talking. We got about 2 minutes left in the show. So,
hey man, so, it's always a pleasure, brother.
Oh man, this has been great. So I want to tell her, get everybody to go check out Tim's site. That is, it's thefilmgordon.com, not just filmgordon.com now. It's thefilmgordon.com.
Right, yeah, right? thefilmgordon.com. Yeah. Right.
And he's got a whole Black Panther section set up over on his site, so you can go and check that out. I encourage you to do so. Thanks a lot, my friend. This has been great.
Hey, man, we do what we can, man. You know, we'll see each other, man, I guess at the end of this month or early next month. I don't know.
I mean, well, if you come to screenings, you'll see me next week.
Love you too, man.
All right, man. I will talk to you later. We got the Oscar party coming up, so we'll see each other sooner or later.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, man.
All right, man. Take care, man.
I appreciate it. All right, later.
Bye.
All right, that's my man Tim Gordon from thefilmgordon.com, also the president of the Black Reel Awards and president of WAFCA and a fellow member of the FCA. This hour has flown by. It is about to wrap up. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Cinema Royale. I'm Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics. You can find me every day there at punchdrunkcritics.com. You can find me at on News Channel 8. In fact, I was there on Friday in studio talking about Black Panther, of course. You can find me on Thursday mornings on WEAL Morning News. And, of course, on WETA Around Town on Channel 26 right here in DC. Thanks for tuning in to Cinema Royale, everybody. I will see you all next week. Wakanda forever! We'll be right back.